Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of our Make Your Name Great podcast. I am your host, Tyrone Robertson, and I am joined by the beautiful, the illustrious, outstanding, and anointed, by the way, my partner in both podcasting and, more importantly, in life, Ashley Robertson. Make sure we put that on there.
I see.
Yeah, give you applause. You know, you deserve to get a clap.
Aww.
Yeah. So how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good, real good. And you?
I have no complaints, and if I didn't, no one would care.
Hate that you say it, but you're not going to stop it by now.
I'm not going to say it. I'm not going to stop it. Just keep going. It's going to keep rolling. But I'm juiced. I'm excited. I'm energized. I don't know why, because we're recording this like at 10 o'clock at night.
Really?
But still juiced, energized, and excited. Let's go.
Let's do it.
Okay. So for today's topic, I think this is more of a fallout episode. Not a fallout, but type of fallout. So one of the things that happened in 2020, right, with the impact or fallout of the George Floyd situation, right, mm-hmm. where you had so many communities and countries around the world protesting and standing up, for a lot of people, that was one of the first times people who aren't African Americans, that was one of the first times they really saw the situations that maybe African Americans gone through. But I guess one of the impacts of that is there was a heightened sense of community. You had individuals right. starting, you know, you pushed the, you know, buy black, right? Mm-hmm. You know, yeah. I bought like, you know, every black owned.
Yeah, we got a lot of black
t-shirt
hoodies.
Company that popped up. I got them all.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, a lot of black hoodies.
Yeah, my banking account statement shows.
I mean, it was a lot of online, and we had clothing popping up every day for a while. I just had to stop that. But you had those. You had people start nonprofits and programs, put emphasis on them. You know, on buying black. You saw even, by the way, networks. All of a sudden, there's a support black lead, support black, you know, right. section on all the streaming services, and not just for Black History Month. But they are all over the place, right?
Right.
So you saw this. And so seeing all this stuff, it made me want to have the conversation about what do we feel like we have a responsibility or ownership, or do we have anything to do to our community, right?
Right.
So when you hear the term community for you, Ashley, what comes to mind for you?
Well, when I think of community, truthfully, I guess I'm cliche. I think of black.
Mm-hmm.
When I think of community, I think of like-minded.
Mm-hmm.
I think of support.
Mm-hmm.
I think of family. I think of a village, mostly so.
A village. Okay. So that goes to the follow-up question. So, you know, we've talked about on this podcast about our village, right?
Right.
And would you say your community and village are the same thing, or would you say, your village is just part of the community? Like, which one do you say is on a larger scale?
I don't think my village and my community are the same thing.
Okay.
I definitely think community is more on a larger scale than village. Village is something more small, something more intimate, you mm-hmm. know, close niche. Whereas community is when you look at it as in general.
Right.
So that's why when you say first thing came to my mind was my culture. Mm-hmm. That's my community. That's huge. That mm-hmm. goes from, you know, from here to there. So, but my village don't. My village are those who are close to me, the stories I hear, the people I talk to, the people that support me, who I support.
Right. I think very similar for me. I think I would agree that community is a much larger and broader audience or group of people than just my village. My village is part of my community, but not the other way around, right?
Right.
And I think there is a dual sense of times when it comes to community. I think just us being now homeowners, you know, mm-hmm. I think what happens in the area that we live impacts us as well.
Correct.
So I think there is that dualness of what is a community. I think there is a pull to what's African American. I think there's also a pull to just the local neighborhood where we live at, and you know what happens there. So I think all those things kind of come into play of what is a community. And I guess, so my other question too, the follow up on that about the community, do you think it's important as far as your community, do we have like-mindedness, or is it just, you know, for the most part, you black, you in, you know, like Issa Rae, I'm here to support everybody black, or, or is it similar black, but also similar like-mindedness, right?
So I guess when we're talking about this perspective as a community, we're talking about culture.
Yes. Okay. Right.
And so, because that's the way the question came up right. to me. And so when I think when it comes to culture, I think everybody culture, you have to be careful not to say just to agree with anything because of culture. Just because you are similar in areas from same background, similar in gender, doesn't mean you are the same.
All skin folk ain't kin folk.
All skin folk ain't kin folk. So I think like-mindedness do come into play.
Right.
A huge part. You want to be surrounded by people who are on the same path, are same direction, have the same ambition. Less confusion, less division when you have that. So I think you need that in communities in order for it to be successful. Even if you say take culture out of it mm-hmm. and we just say our community, you still need like-minded people to say everybody want to clean up the community to help the property values. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
Where people are going, say, everybody say, well, we might be different cultures, but say we all want to go to city council meeting to get more job opportunities in the community for our kids. You still need like-minded people in order for your community or village to grow.
Agreed. Because like I said, breaking it down, even if you're talking about just where you locally live, we all got to be on the same page to say, hey, we want these streets fixed, right? We're
right.
tired of these potholes. Whereas some people are like, nah, I don't really care about that. You know, do we care about, you know, as a community, do we care about big businesses coming in play
right.
and maybe running out some of the local businesses out? Or do we care about protecting local and
right.
maybe shunning some of the bigger businesses? Maybe you say no to Walmart because you have the
Uncle Tom, the uncle,
you know, Sally's
Sue.
Convenience store, right?
Right.
You say no to Walmart because you want us to keep these three small businesses there. Versus now, I'm tired of driving them. Let me put a Walmart right there, right? And so I think you do have those. So do you let the big fast food chain come into place, or you stick with the local, you know, places, you know? And I think also that a similar thing goes to African American and culture. Do we have similar mindsets? Do you have similar thought process? And going to the community. Okay. So I think we did a good, you know, have a baseline of what is our understanding of community, because we have the dual of
right.
what is our community, right? So then I guess the question I would go then, right? Do you feel there's an obligation? Do you feel there's an you have an obligation to your community, both locally where you live and in a broader sense, we're talking about African-American community?
Yes, I think I have an obligation to my community as culture. And I believe I have an obligation to my community as local.
Okay. So do you feel the obligation as far as a culture comes from? Okay. Me, you have had these conversations, right? And me, you might say that from a appearance standpoint or economic standpoint or a lot of different standpoints, it seems like African Americans are pushed down,
mm-hmm.
right? Do you feel like you have an obligation to your community because of its placement and you're like, I want to help it rise? Or do you feel like you have an obligation just because you're born into the community?
Absolutely, because of its placement.
100%.
If the game was not rigged, then I wouldn't need to be feeling the way I need to feel for my community. But the game is rigged.
Basically, more effort. You have to put an emphasis and have a mindset and have a be intentional in your
right.
focus because of the standpoint, because if you left,
right.
if left alone, it would kind of sink and you would stay behind.
Correct.
And
not just me, my children, generation to generation. So in order for me want something better for my children and their children, I have to put in place my community as a culture.
Right. And so, okay. I've asked this question here and then I'm gonna follow up with the story and some things that we talk about.
Okay.
Do you think some of that longing or some of that obligation comes from that you grew up in a community where African Americans were present and do you think the community you grew up in has an impact on your mindset?
Mm-hmm.
I guess. Okay.
Yes.
And so I guess, you know, if I tell on myself for a bit,
you can,
when we first got together, I think my opinions and thoughts on this question and this topic have shifted over the years,
oh,
right?
Oh, man, don't get me started.
Okay, go ahead. I'll let you get started. I'm going to report on myself. You know, I'm going to let you tell myself. So I would say, and maybe this is going to say, no, Tom, that's not true. You're just scapegoating, but maybe. I would say growing up in San Diego, I am 100% used to one of the small black people within a school, in a class, in an environment, in a society, right? So I feel like, me personally, my thought process growing up was, in order to succeed in San Diego, right, you almost have to be, like I said, willing to and used to the idea of adapting to a community that might not look like you.
I can see, yeah, definitely.
And so I think some of my thought processes of what are my obligations to my community might have been altered by that.
Yes.
Because I felt like, yeah, I can have an allegiance to the African-American community. But, you know, yeah, I'm Black, so yeah, I want them to do well, but that ain't really going to help me out, right?
How does that benefit
me? How does that benefit me? You know, I'm most of the schools I went to were predominantly white.
Correct.
Even to the point, you know, and I'm not talking about like middle school predominantly white, high school predominantly white, college predominantly white.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was just a normal trend for me. And so I think when I got with you, in my mind, I wouldn't go as far as say I was anti-Black.
No, you wasn't anti-Black.
But I don't think I was pro-Black either.
You definitely wasn't pro-Black. You didn't understand Black, if I could be honest. There definitely was a gap between what you understood and what you experienced. And I think a lot of people in your situation come out with that same conflict with themselves, mm-hmm. right? Because when you have been presented with a certain environment for so many years, you adapt like right. a chameleon. And sometimes you can adapt so hard that you become it. Yeah. And you don't even know it.
Go ahead.
Oh, yeah, you're fine. And so it is not that you're wrong. It is just a lack of exposure.
Sometimes you code switch so much that you forget to turn the switch off.
Man, say that again. That's my mama word right there.
I think that's something that almost a lot of African Americans are used to and adjusted to. When you go in a workplace, you're going to be different. You're going to code switch. But again, it's remembering that you are just switching.
Right. Go back.
And I think that sometimes is the issue is you forget to go back part.
Yeah. People keep their masks on.
Growing up in San Diego, at least this is my experience, and I could be wrong. And I'm not speaking for all. I'm just speaking from my personal experience. I think sometimes we go to San Diego, when you have limited interactions to go back to, like you don't, you're not coming back to a neighborhood that's all predominantly Black. You know,
right.
it, from that standpoint, you forget to go back because there's never a contrast in what you're seeing, right? It kind of remains the same. Your job is this. Your school is this. You know, you kind of go around. Yeah, your church is going to be different. I would say, yeah, growing up in a church, definitely predominantly Black.
You know, everything else,
there's not, you don't really have that. So you don't really have that. Okay, now it's time to switch back because this environment is different. Whereas the environment looks the same. It looks similar.
Right. You know, that switching kind of reminds me of women wearing makeup, you know, wearing a mask every day. We put on makeup day after day, put on this mask. And at some point you get tired.
Right.
And one night or two, you don't want to take off the mask.
Yeah.
And you sleep with it on. And you forget. And sometimes those days turn into days. You see?
Because I think part of it is, it's easier to leave the mask on than to have to keep putting it on.
Yeah.
It's easier.
Taking it off, yeah. Putting it on.
The whole process, especially when you're talking about, you know, a real good regimen for taking off makeup.
Right,
the wipes, the creams, the wipes, all that
right.
stuff. You know, it's easier. I'm just going to leave it on. And I don't have to switch. And I don't have to remember, oh, did I switch right? Or did I use the right dialect in here? Whereas, if I just keep it on, then I don't have to worry about messing up when I switch.
And I think a lot of that plays into people in the, you know, if I can speak on your situation, you just get tired of switching and you just become.
So I would, you know, given that backstory for me, I would definitely say my thought process of what is owed to community has shifted.
100%.
Because I would say I definitely was a little.
I think you're overly trying to.
No, you're wrong. I definitely think, you know, again, telling on myself. For years, and even up to the point where we got together, I was like, hey, man, they're going to get it where they get it. African Americans going to get there, then pull yourselves up and get there.
To this day, we had some knockout debates.
I would say I definitely might have said, pull themselves up by the bootstraps.
You have said it. No, not probably. You have.
I was trying to get myself some out.
Oh, my bad.
But, you know, it's okay. He's throwing me all the way under the bus. And I think, I'm trying to say another word other than just I was wrong.
Just say you were wrong.
That hurts, though.
But it feels better.
But the truth is, I was just wrong.
Yeah.
And I think not only was I wrong, but I was ignorant. And
you know, I think this is the first time I've ever heard you say that.
What, I was wrong?
Yeah, and ignorant to this situation.
I think that's the tragedy is for somebody who feels like I was as intelligent as I was and as knowledgeable
more
as
than
I felt like.
More than 80% of the world.
Listen, it was 70.
I thought it was 80.
It was 70.
Oh, 10 more percent.
Yeah, wow. 10%. Hey, we're talking about billions of people. That's actually a lot of people.
I know. You said you were smarter than them.
Yeah, 70% of the people on the planet, yes. For someone who thought they knew so much, to have this entire area of my life that I'm completely ignorant to. And not only, it's not like it's some random thing, like I don't know, like I couldn't tell you the president of you know, I couldn't tell you who's in charge of England. No, but something that should be directly impacting me.
Which does directly,
impact me. And that is something I was completely ignorant and wrong in, and you know.
No.
I wouldn't quite say Uncle Tom-ish.
No, you wasn't Uncle Ruckus.
But I
Ruckus.
Might have been Cousin Tom.
You wasn't Uncle Ruckus. But you was probably like,
I was like
cousin removed.
Yeah, like a cousin removed.
I sit there and I look. I'd be like, what was you thinking, Ashley? I guess I was like, oh, he's so cute. He don't know nothing. Oh, he's just so cute.
He was that's a little baby.
Oh, he's just going to develop.
Yeah. Boy. So I was saying that to say this. I think for years I had the thought process, nah, you didn't know nothing in the community.
Right.
But I think that has shifted for me.
Mm-hmm.
I believe there is something, and I guess I would say like this, it might not necessarily be owed to community, but owed to my kids to help the community.
Correct. I think that's when you shifted more with your kids.
I think that was a lot of the shifts, having kids and seeing how things might understand, asking myself, what type of world am I going to leave them? What is the state of the world going to be when I leave them? And so, yeah, I definitely think that was a catalyst for a lot of shifts.
For most people, yeah, kids will do it to you.
Kids will do it
to
you.
Shake your world, rock it up.
Yeah, that little terrorist will. So do you have in your mind then, I guess, so one thing I think, okay, we both agree that, hey, you know, we have a responsibility to our community, right?
Right.
How do you decide or do distinguish how much you should add to contribute to community versus how much you need to hold for your own of your resources you need to hold for your own personal gains, right? Because in theory, if you have like, you know, if you have $100, I can give, you know, you don't want to give $100 away to, you know, different communities and different nonprofits, and then now you have nothing internally. But you also don't want to be to say, yeah, community is important, but I'm not giving y'all nothing. You know, how do you determine what is that split or distinguish what it would be that split?
I mean, honestly, it may be just my major. I think it's very easily finance. It's numbers. You see, at the end of the day, you pay yourself. Mm-hmm. You take care of yourself. Once you take care of yourself, then whatever you have left over where you can spend it, you spend it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, for me, the way I look at it when it goes to spending, I try to find my community that supplies it first.
Right.
You see, if it's something I can just get from anywhere, I can choose my community if I want. Mm-hmm. It's nothing but a brand. You see what I'm saying? So to me, that doesn't take away because I was going to buy it anyway. You know what I'm saying? So
I think that definitely was a something we talked about and try to push. Like, if we can, let's find a, you know.
If you're going to drink coffee, go to a black coffee shop.
Go to a black coffee shop. If you're going to, you know, all these services you're going to need, go to a black person, you know.
Car wash.
Electrician.
Remember, we had a dude came to the house. Car wash.
Black car wash. I had a black electrician come.
Black
to
dentist.
House. Black dentist. All those things. I try to understand. By the way,
gonna pay for it anyway.
By the way, I would just like to put this out there because mm-hmm. it was a recent discussion. I just feel like I feel like in my soul I need to put this out there.
Okay.
It's okay to pay full price for your friend's business.
Yes, it is.
You shouldn't, when your friend starts or your friend or family member starts a business, your first statement shouldn't be, let me get a shirt for free or hook me up.
You felt this in your soul.
I felt
didn't?
It in my soul.
I felt it
in my soul. Because listen, you know, my friend growing up, he started a business. What if I said, oh, let me buy some shirts.
Right, right.
I didn't say, let me cop some shirts. No, give me some shirts for free. None of that. Because right. I feel like at the end of the day, when a small business, and you started a small business, you know.
Correct.
It ain't anything you start small. You ain't got a bunch of excess profit to just be giving away stuff for free.
You putting money in the business.
You put money in the business. And you want friends and family to support you and be the first ones to buy. Not the first one someone let me cop for free or give me a discount. Just putting that out there. I'm sorry. That was in my...
That was side note.
That was in my soul. We were talking about community.
It was in your soul. Like, your whole body just scrunched up. It was in your soul.
That was in my soul, deep down in. Deep. And so I think I agree. I think finances can play a part, but I think you try where you can. Like I said, if it's all the same, you try to support, you know, blackness as far as that. And so... That kind of gets me to my next question. Do you think the word community means something different for African-Americans versus non-African-Americans? Or do you feel like the obligation is different for African-Americans versus non-African-Americans? And again, neither one of us are non-African-Americans, so we could be just guessing. And we apologize if we are incorrect.
Correct.
But we just want to share our
thoughts. To be honest with you, I don't know when it comes to them because I ain't them and I've never asked them and I don't see them sit around talk about certain conversations like we do, which also makes me feel like we have more of an obligation to our community than sometimes maybe. And I don't know, Asians might feel more obligated to their culture, Mexicans, Latinos, you know, I don't know. But I know for African Americans, we are definitely drilled.
Right. Drilled, definitely.
Drilled at an early age. And I'm pretty sure other coaches probably can relate too about our culture and community. You ain't doing it for you. You're doing it for everybody who came before you. You're doing it for everybody who was in slavery and who got hanged. You are doing this for them.
The truth is, and again, I think we do both open the door that we could just be confirmation bias because we are African American. The truth is, I would say you're actually drilled both ways. You are drilled that your community is nothing. Versus images you see, media and stuff like that, and you're also drilled. You got to do the most, right?
Part of you got to do the most because that's what you see.
Because that's what you see.
Your community is nothing.
You're trying to counteract. You're trying to counteract this large. What it feels like you're trying to counteract what this large machine is. You're going against this large machine against you, right? It's almost like we're John Henry going against a steam engine, right? Here we are, just man, here I am, but here's this whole machine with all this engineering, all this social engineering, all this social constructs and mindsets, all this time and energy put into crafting this image, and here I am, John Henry, with a hammer trying to beat it.
That's good, yeah.
Right? And at times, and I think this went into some of my thought process, too. At times, it feels like such a daunting task that it's better not to start it. It's better to be like, I can't do anything anyway.
I think a lot of people in our culture feel that way. And you see them like that in the day. They just turn a blind eye because the monster is too big. The mountain is unmovable, they believe. But what I will say, which sparked this conversation from last year and the big movement that you've seen in the community, clearly shows you that the mountain can be moved.
The mountain can be moved.
And that the giant can be beat.
Yeah. And I think, you know, there's a saying, you know, how do you eat an elephant? And it's one bite at a time.
One bite at a time.
And what it is I don't have the responsibility of fighting the machine, right? That's not my responsibility. I can't conquer the machine. My responsibility is to conquer what I can conquer in my everyday life. Yes. Like we said, you know, hey, if we have to get new laundry service or something like that, why not go black owned?
Right.
Right? If we have to buy something here, why not try to go black owned from that standpoint?
If you can.
And that's our way of fighting against the machine without having to fight the machine.
Right, right, right.
Right? And be careful and conscious of the things, of the thoughts we put out there, of the mindset we put out, the wording we put out there, the imagery we put out there.
Right.
All those things. And that's our way of fighting the machine.
Right. I definitely believe one person can fight the machine head on.
Right.
But what people can do is pick parts of the body.
Yeah.
And you fight your part.
You fight your fight.
And so if everybody can fight their fight, eventually it will break down. You fight the legs, we fight the hands, you fight the shoulder. Some people believe that that doesn't work. You need mm-hmm. everybody on one part at a time. But I honestly think divide and conquer will make it happen faster.
I 100% agree. And so some people might be saying, hey, how can I fight my fight? What can I do to not fully fight the machine, but do my part, right? And step mm-hmm. in. So one of the things I did look up is, what are some of the ways to help, quote unquote, your community? And, you know, to whatever broad sense that it means for you, whether that means locally for you, or if you mean the broader sense of African-American community, right? Right. However you sense. And so I did look up a couple things, and we will kind of get your thought process on them, you know. So I did look up a couple things, and I'm going to go through them and discuss them with you and get your thought process on them. Which ones, what would you rank with the top one, or with the thing that speaks to you the most, right? And I'll kind of go what speaks to me the most. So one of the ones was volunteer in a soup kitchen, you know, helps heading out, preparing meals mm-hmm. and for less fortunate. And those type of places are always looking for volunteers because right. they don't have the money to really pay a lot of staff. And so, and for the volunteers. And I think it's a good way to also help people be more appreciative of the mm-hmm. things they do have. Because I think that's one of the things we kind of discussed, you know, even with our kids, we was like, you know, yeah, I don't really understand the situation.
How
right?
good you got it.
Right. How good you got it. So how does that the one speak to you, or the soup kitchen?
Soup kitchen is good. I've done it when I was younger, so it's cool.
My church used to have moments where we every third Saturday would feed less fortunate.
My church used to do it too.
And that kind of leads into part two, which is help out in a local church. And not only just help out in a local church, but I think help out in a local church that is interested in helping out the community.
Mm.
Because you can help out a church, but if all the churches, oh, by the way, that's a whole other topic though. That's a whole other conversation about where right. churches fall into this, because that's an interesting conversation. But you know, if that's something you can do too.
Right.
Because churches have, sometimes a lot of churches have programs and that help out community.
And
A lot of them do. By the way, sorry, small tangent. A lot of them do. A lot of people have this conversation of what is the church doing? A lot of churches have community outreach and things that they do on their level to their scale. Every church is not T.D. Jakes' church, so they're not going to build a school. But that doesn't mean they don't give backpacks for kids at school. So,
good one.
Besides the point. So another thing was talking about helping out at your school, whether it's PTA, box tops, volunteering for your school.
Mm-hmm.
And I know, you know, your thought process is too, is it's always good to show your face at the school too, just so they know that they have a parent.
I agree. I think you should, especially for the Black community.
Because it is very easy for the Black community, even in schools, even in your local school, to have misconstrued
and prejudge. You know how many
notion.
Times I walked to the school and they called me a single mom mm-hmm. on welfare?
Yeah.
No disrespect to my single moms on welfare, because my mom, you know, I grew up like that. But just the stereotype.
But the fact that that's the assumption.
Right. As soon as you see me, you know nothing. You know how many times they've pushed me welfare papers assigned for me? I'm like, I'm not on welfare.
Yeah. And like I said, it's not, I'm not saying anything wrong with that, but the fact that that's your go-to assumption.
That when you see a Black woman
it's, she's going to be single.
She's single and welfare. Nobody right. wants her, and she ain't got no money.
Right.
That's what you think of us.
Yeah. And I think one thing we try to still, too, we try to go to a lot of parents' conferences, like, hey, our kids have parents that are involved
right.
and that care. And so if it's not the things like you send us a message and be like, hey, your kid did this. And it's like, well, that didn't happen. Man, I might as well stop. You know?
Right.
No, we are involved. We want to communicate. We want to have these conversations with you. Right. Tutor students. Volunteering to tutor students.
Tutor, mentor.
Tutor and slash mentor. I like that because I think tutoring, I can see why some people might be hesitant to tutor, especially because if you look at some of the schooling, the new math.
Yeah, but mentoring is not.
By the way, new math sucks. I need someone to explain to me why we got away from long division, the regular multiplying addition. Why do we have this new?
I have no idea.
10 model, simple. It's stupid. Old school way works. But definitely mentoring youth and being there in a sounding board.
Mm-hmm.
Because as remarkable as it sounds, sometimes it does help to hear the same thing from somebody else other than your parents.
True. And I think it also goes back to when you say that we drill by two things, right? We drill by the image in which we see of our community.
Mm-hmm.
And so it helps to show the youth that what they show you is not what it all is.
Right.
And to be the role model that lives in their everyday life, not what they see on TV.
Yeah, 100%. Because again, you don't have to be watched anything long before you see images of, you know, African-Americans and how they think you look at.
Right, whether it's
World Star, Shade Room, you know, yeah, any of those things. And so some counter programming would be nice. And the last thing was visit the elderly.
Definitely.
And I think that is always, particularly, you know, especially we have them up in age, loneliness kind of sets in.
Mm-hmm.
And I think to me, not all of these, but this is the one I think to me would speak the most to you. Because I know you always have a heart for the elderly.
Mm-hmm.
And the struggles and the things they kind of go through. And I've even seen that how you interact with someone older in age, how you spend a little more time and care for them. I think that really, for you, I know that's something that's important.
When I was younger, I always wanted to open a nonprofit elderly home. And I always used to say, I'm going to hire people who really care about elders.
Mm-hmm.
Really going to love on them. And not like there's not people out there that do, but I do think that you have to spend time with them, and that is part of the community. It is foolish to think that you don't need the wisdom of the elders. Mm. It's just foolish.
Right.
I always tell young people, their knowledge help you dodge bullets.
Yeah.
Not that you won't hit some, but it's better to dodge some so you don't end up dead.
Right. You don't have to hit every bump in the road. Bumps you can avoid.
And so you need to know your history. You need to understand life from a different point of view. You need to understand where you're going so you know how to prepare for it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? If you don't understand that one day your body going to break down, that you ain't going to work forever, you're not going to do a 401k. You're not going to set up a retirement plan.
Right.
Because you're going to think you're 21 forever.
Yeah. And those ages hit you fast, boy.
Real fast. Like
they creep up on you, right? And I think also, too, kind of another thing is what we said earlier is if you care about the, you know, buying black and help support black businesses.
Yeah, that's plain and simple.
Plain and simple. You know, support them. And again.
No matter what culture you are.
And again, stop looking for a discount for family and friends. I just want to put that out there. Stop looking for a discount for family and friends.
Scale it.
Pay full price.
All right. I ain't going to ask nobody for no more discounts.
Pay full price. Let's go ahead and get to our We're Not Strangers segment. Okay. So our We're Not Strangers segment is where Ashley and I ask each other random questions and see where the conversation goes. And so for right now, we are currently using the questions out of our moment, couples edition. So that's where the questions are coming from.
Right.
So you want to go first? Or you want me to go first?
You can go first.
All right. If money was no object, where would you live?
Oh man, by the beach. Probably in San Diego still, to be honest with you. But by the beach, it'd be what I would live in a mansion. Glass house,
right.
See the ocean. Oh my
and
God.
And boy, your heating bill would be through the roof.
Yes, it would. But money wasn't an option. So who cares about the heating bill? Why are you bringing up things that doesn't matter in my fantasy? Like a bill. Savage Todd, just kill us with a dream.
It's a hater. It's a dream.
Just kill my dream. Kill my dream. Oh, I ain't even got nothing else to say. All right, my turn. I'm over. What do you place first in your life?
God.
Good answer.
Then you.
Good answer.
Yeah,
you got some brownie points tonight. Maybe some tacos.
Hey. So yeah, I don't think there's much to discuss in that one. I think that's
that was simple.
That's the way the order should be.
Always should be, baby.
Okay. What's something you've tried really hard to like but just couldn't?
I guess it would be like rock music. Like I'm a music fanatic,
and so
I listen to all type of music. Do country, I can do, you know, instrument, all type. But rock, I just
can't do it.
Yeah, especially not that hard. I think it's hard metal or whatever. Mm-hmm. I try to listen to old brothers, man, but they be just angry.
I think also Big Bang Theory, You sat and listened.
Oh yeah, Big Bang Theory.
Big Bang Theory.
Big Wayne Theory. Whatever the
Big Wayne Theory.
Same theory. I don't care.
Big Wayne Theory is probably a porn.
Okay, you might be right about that one.
I'm sure that's a porn name. Okay. Big Wayne Theory.
Okay. Whatever that thing called. But yeah, I can't do that show. It's just a little too dry humor for me to get it. Into. I know you. I know you've killed me with it many days. But yeah. So my question.
Would it be bad if I was like, my answer was Jordan Peele movies? Things I try really hard to get into like, but I just can't.
Oh yeah,
I can't get into Jordan Peele movies.
I love his movies.
They just.
I don't know if
I'm just not deep enough, or they're just.
You're too surface, man.
I'm barely too surface. Level.
Stop skiing on top of the water. Come down deep, deep, deep.
Or he's just too deep and too out there.
No, he's not. He's good. He's talking about social issues that we have in our society today, and he put them in a movie that makes people think
I just don't think there should need to be a dissertation for me to understand your movie. Whatever. Okay, whatever. Go ahead.
Anyway, my question is, who was the most toxic person you've ever known?
I'm debating how much we want to protect the innocent.
Well, I would say don't give no names.
No face, no case. No. I don't know. Who's the most toxic person I ever met? I don't know. There's a, like, if we're talking about who I met personally versus who I've like seen like a celebrity or something like that.
Personally.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't have an answer.
I feel like you want to say me. You better not say
I don't want to say you. I mean, there's somebody I want to say, but I don't want to say. And there's no way I can go around without them saying, knowing that I'm talking about them.
Okay, then we're just going to skip this.
We're
going
to protect the innocent, and we're going to go ahead and go.
Go with this one.
You just say, I'm just saying, basically, the question is, are they really a good person? But.
Oh, I already know who you're talking about.
So, you know.
So, we're done with this segment.
And I think they are the most toxic on all levels, both in relationships, both as in
this
family.
This person that he's talking about is not that toxic.
Right. It is not that toxic. Kind of like acid.
I can't with you. I can't.
It's not that toxic.
I can't. They have good in them.
I mean, in theory, everybody has some good in them.
Okay. This segment is over.
But you want to talk about toxic?
No, the question asked about toxic.
We're talking about toxic, so we want to get into toxic. I'm toxic.
What makes a person toxic?
If they are no good for themselves or the people around them.
That's the definition.
And I feel like that's what toxicity is. It's something that is dangerous to be around, dangerous to be near. Both ingesting it, both being around it, smelling it. You know, it can come impact you and negatively impact you. I think those are toxic.
There we go, people. Now you know what toxic people are.
The one thing I'm glad for, I don't think I've never been in a toxic relationship.
Oh, thank you. I take that.
Yeah,
I'm not talking about nobody else, but it's for me.
Just for you. Because no one else counts because they're all in high school.
Right.
Because no one else counts. So
there nobody else counts.
So, all right. I think that does it for this episode. Thank everybody for listening. Thank everybody for tuning in. Please like, share, subscribe. Let us know your thoughts. What are your thoughts? What do you owe your community? What have you done for your community? That's a whole other topic. What have you done for your community?
Right.
And so, yeah. Any closing thoughts, Ashley?
No. Be safe, people, and be happy.
Be safe and be happy. That's the outro. All right. So, I'm Tyra Robertson.
And I am Ashley Robertson.
This is the Make Your Name Great podcast, the podcast you listen to on your path to greatness.